Hey, folks, Dean Crisp in the studio this week. Excited to talk about something that's so important to everybody, partnerships. How to form partnerships with people, people you lead, people you work with, people in your family. How do you form those partnerships with people you care about to really get the best out of you and them? I really believe you're going to like this podcast. So as we always say, sit back, turn up the volume, get ready to change your life.
Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, be ready to change your life.
Hi, folks. Dean Crisp in the studio, joined with Kelly Corbin. Been doing a couple of weeks of solo, had some ideas, thoughts on my mind, kind of knocked those podcasts out. Really enjoy doing that, having that one-on-one with you in the studio and you in podcast land. Really enjoy that. You know, I found out, and it's kind of interesting, this is a way that I can talk to all of you who I really care about adding value to you. The podcast is a way that I can have a conversation with you. Well, it's kind of a one-way conversation, but it is a way for you to get these thoughts out of my head on some of the important issues today in leadership that I'm learning as I teach every week, as I read every week, as I work every week, work with people, and kind of see these things working. I just am so excited to share them with you. Going to be joined this week in the studio with you is Kelly Corbin. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Well, we missed you the last couple of weeks out here. I know everybody's been busy. We've been trying to get things done. So, you know, audience, Kelly's back. She's going to be adding value to this, asking questions, kind of taking me a little deeper with some of this. And today we're going to be talking about partnerships and how do you form partnerships with people and what's the importance and value of it. And I'm just going to give you some tips that really helped me. You know, that this is Straight Talk on Leadership. We call it the no BS zone. And I'm not trying to give you some of these great theories on partnerships or, you know, all this stuff on partnerships. I'm just trying to tell you what works for me and what I have found and what's just very applicable and simple. And I'm going to be talking about these tips. You know, Kelly, we got a lot. But before we do, Kelly, I'm going to talk about a couple of things. We got a lot going on and our classes are filling up. We've got this new class we're getting ready to kick off here, and we're so excited about that because we actually believe this class is not just going to be a class, but kind of creates a movement of a different mindset, if you will, or a mind shift of the officer. And how does the officer really police in today's world? And how do we need to be training our cops in today's world to face the challenging environment that's out there? And we're really excited. And we're going to be bringing that more about that later, but that's going to be kicked off here in the next month or so. But, you know, we just got finished with the Master Presenter course, Master Leader course in Nashville. Oh my goodness, what a week. Those people out there were absolutely amazing. What stories I heard, what connecting I heard, and what partnerships was formed this week. Not only for them to work better at their office, but just to get better. One of the things people don't understand about partnerships is you got to first have a partnership with yourself. And that's one of the key components I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes, but we got a lot going on. So join us at LHLN.org. We've got a new website design. Mackenzie Craig, who is one of our marketing specialists, has really been working on that. It's amazing. You will see some really good things. It's easy to scroll through. It's easy to get the information. And pass along this podcast. If you like these podcasts, please pass them along. Hit that subscribe button, but also share them. And that's the way we get the word out there to people, because that's what we're interested in. We're interested in getting that word out there. We're not really interested in becoming anything more than we are. We're just worried about how do we help people get better every single week. Every single one of these podcasts is designed for value. So saw a lot of growth this week. And Kelly, you want to talk about some things we got coming up and what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we obviously have all of our classes that you can find on the website, as Dean suggested. We are getting ready to release your second book, hopefully later this fall, be closer to Christmas. And just doing a lot of things that I was very happy to be able to come with you to Nashville this week. Love Nashville. Would move there in a second, make it LHL in West if I had to. But I will say that the people at TBI are just wonderful to work with, very professional organization. And the thing that was fascinating to me this week was just how quickly everyone gelled. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about the partnership aspect. I think that's going to be really great for that. But that master leadership class, I've sat through probably four or five now. And every time, I mean, I'm just amazed at the difference between day one and day five in these people. Not just in their presentation skills, but just in their personal confidence and the team work, especially if you've got a group of people from the same organization in there, even if they're from different divisions and departments, the teamwork that comes out of that is just amazing. So it was great. It was really good to be able to come. And I think created a better teamwork for our group too. So,
well, Mackenzie Craig, who is our marketing and also does a website and also helps you with virtual assistant stuff. She was able to join us too in Nashville and took the class. This was her first class after joining the team here. She's been with us for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And you could just see the metamorphosis.
Transformation.
Okay? Yeah. Or the transformation. She was really a very shy, very reserved, was scared to death to speak in front of people. And she doesn't have a law enforcement background like a lot of people do.
Right.
And she got out there with 22 people in that class. And we limit that class. We were at the upper limits of our class because we want to give you that individual attention and we want to give you that individual coaching to really help you get better, which makes this class really great. It's about your personal development, but she just killed it this week. And it was just it was so good to see her. It's just a great example of it's for everybody. It's not just no matter what your rank is, no matter what your title might be or whatever, wherever you are in life, becoming a master leader, master presenter, having that information gives you a great deal of ability to do your job really, really well. Not only that, it helps you become such a better person. So, I mean, these are the comments from the students, and we were able to get some testimonials that we'll be sharing with folks. But it was just a great week. And so with that, let's talk about partnerships. And partnerships are absolutely 1,000% necessary. You will never be able to do anything in life until you form a partnership with someone who can help you become your best, do your best, and produce your best. But the first thing I want to talk about partnerships, and a lot of people don't really think about this when they think of partnerships, is you first have to become a partner of one, and that's yourself. You have to be determined yourself to whatever you're trying to partner for, whatever the reason you're creating this partnership. You have to decide what you're going to do, what you're going to sacrifice, what you're going to bring to the table. And you have to decide, are you going to be at your best? Are you just going to be halfway into the partnership? Are you going to be totally committed to the partnership? Or what is that? So people have to realize that a lot of times partnerships fail. It's not because the other partner's not doing their part. It's because one of the people in the group is just not doing their part. So you have to have a partnership of one before you can ever be a partnership of two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kelly, this concept that I've been teaching over the last year or so, team of one creates a team of two, and then in turn creates a team of we. You can never become a team of we until you can become a team of two, where you and someone else have the same goals in mind, the same thoughts in terms of what you're trying to accomplish in mind, but you first have to become a partner of one. So you have to decide yourself, you're going to be your best, and then you get someone else to work with you. And then it's just like a gym. Like if you were to work out at the gym, you're always better when you have a partner. You always push yourself. You always get up. Mm-hmm. You'll always produce. You won't let them down. That's the simplicity of forming a partnership of one, is committing yourself. So what is a partnership? It's when you yourself decide you're going to create something, do something that needs to be done. It's something really simple. It can be, I want to be my best version of myself. I want to get this task done at work. I want to create a team environment with the group I'm working with. You're trying to accomplish something. And when you do that, you team with not only yourself first, but you team with someone else to make that situation better. People, it was hard for me to understand this when people think about partnerships, but partnership is one of the first steps to greatness. Yeah. No one ever becomes great by themselves, and they always have to have somebody else push them. And sometimes it can be a mentor. Sometimes, you know, they can do your check six, and sometimes it can be people you're working with at work. But if you're going to get the best out of someone, you've got to create a partnership. And so the value of partnerships is immense. You will accomplish so much more when you and someone else get on the same page for the same goals, the same journey, the same commitment. It's just ridiculous what happens when you decide to add someone as a partner. When they become a partner, it eases the burden on you, but it also creates or allows you to exceed your expectations. That's what's crazy. It almost eases the burden, but at the same time, allows you to exceed expectations. I mean, that's just a crazy thought right there.
No, I think it's great. And I would add to that, that it really, it's that intrinsic motivation that you're getting. You're getting somebody, if you find what intrinsically motivates you, then you become unstoppable, both as a partner with yourself and then creating that team of two and team of we.
Well, you know, if people don't understand what intrinsic motivation is, there's two types of things that motivate people. One is extrinsic, which is the things that have values, things you can see that have tangible value. They're external things. Right. Intrinsic is that feeling you get inside of yourself when you're a partner. That's that intrinsic of feeling that motivates you without getting a reward. Like you'll do it because you know the value of it. You'll do it because you know it means something to someone else. The one thing I want to tell you about partnerships that I had to realize when I started forming partnerships is that partnership creates a way of looking at things outside of yourself. In other words, you don't become the most important thing. Others become the most important thing. And when you form partnerships, the value of others just starts improving and increasing. Like the second you partner with someone, you start seeing it's not just about you. And, you know, that is so valuable in today's world, because people who are committed to service of others will get a lot done in today's world, because people recognize the value of that, if you will. So when you form partnerships, the value of that is that not only do you increase your ability to get things done, but you increase your ability to see outside of yourself. And then you kind of have this outward mindset where you start looking at others instead of yourself. Now, why that's important is because when you look at the service of others, you will always push yourself harder. When you look at, I'm going to do this for someone else. I'm going to do this because it's important to someone else. I'm going to do this because it's value to them. I'm going to do this because we're going to work as a team to get it done. All of a sudden, your effort increases, your motivation increases, your dedication and your discipline increases. So partnerships is a way to really motivate yourself outside of what your capabilities are. So there's a great deal of value in partnerships. And the one thing it does create, Kelly, is it creates this synergy with people. It creates this desire to do more than you think you can do. It creates this desire to keep going when you want to quit.
Let's take a short break from the show and we'll be right back.
Hey, Straight Talk listeners, this is Kelly Corvin, Director of Business Development here at LHLN, just wanting to highlight one of our signature courses, Intentional Leadership. Many of you have taken that class, but many of you have not, and I just wanted to let you know that it is 2.5 days of action-packed, next-level leadership development. I don't care where you are on your journey, you can be starting out as a supervisor or at the executive level. You will learn the new way to lead in the 21st century from one of the top leadership influencers, Dean Crisp. Learn more about that class, where it's being hosted this year, or request to host a class at www.lhln.org.
Yeah, I mean, again, I always tend to draw it back to parenthood, but that seems to be the common denominator for most of us. I wouldn't say all of us have been parents, but we've been in a parent role. Even if we haven't physically been a parent, you've been a mentor to a younger person, you've been a coach, you might have been a teacher, mentor, something of that nature, to where that is what, whenever I hear you talking about that, I think that is something that would intrinsically and did intrinsically motivate me, is the desire to help another person, my children, achieve what they can do, and to partner with them and to know that I'm trying to guide them in the best way. And it's the same type of thing. I was thinking about the class this week and how that happened, is that we watched that happen. The first day or two, it was them getting up there and it was all about them. You know, you could see they were very self-conscious and self-focused, but as they allowed themselves to be vulnerable, it was amazing how everyone kind of bonded together and wanted to help each other. So you immediately created that partnership with other people, whether it was one other person or, and then eventually it was the entire class. And I thought that was just really fascinating to watch evolve. And it seems to happen in every single class that you teach. You have that magic.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that magic, but I do know that we put value in people being able to work as a team of one, team of two, team of we. I think there is unreasonable expectations sometimes for people to just snap into looking at the bigger picture when you really got to give them a reason to look at the bigger picture. And it just doesn't magically happen. People tend to be singularly focused on what they're working on, but they have to have value in seeing what the bigger picture is. When you form partnerships with them, they tend to do that. That's like with kids. You look at that, a great example of that is these kids don't realize that we're actually in partnership with them until they get out of the house and then they move away. And then they realize the value of the relationship or the partnership that you were telling them what you told them all that time was important. But what you're doing, we're really creating a partnership. If you look at failed relationships or you'll look at failed business ventures, if you look at non-success in the workplace, the key factor is you are the person, either you lose partnership with the organization or you feel like the organization has lost partnership with you.
Absolutely.
And it is the primer thing to create a problem employee is when partnerships fall apart. And if you look at it, what really, and if you could diagnose every problem employee across the country, you can absolutely see where there was a break in the partnership with their belief in the organization or the organizational belief in them. And partnership is kind of like the beginning of forming those relationships that create these magical things, you know, and that's kind of what you see in the classroom is you see a relationship create because people have to believe you care about them. That's number one, but people have to always see where you're trying to take them. Mm-hmm. So at the workplace, when they lose sight of the importance of that, the partnership goes out and they break that business relationship, if you will, with them, which in turn creates all kinds of problems. The same thing with marriages. It's the same thing with friendships. When the partnership is broken, then there's problems arise, or you know, there's just all kinds of things.
Yeah, it becomes a disconnect. Yeah.
Absolutely. So let me talk about forming partnerships, and I'm going to give you about five things that are really, really what I see as important. And, you know, it's kind of help people form these partnerships. As important as they are, they're very simple. The impact they have, they just make the difference. Partnerships make the difference in success or failure. No doubt about it. Whether it's client-based partnerships, whether it's work-based relationships. And that's one of the things that's breaking down in law enforcement now, is there's a disconnection of partnership between the communities and the police. And that really is leading to major, major breakdown. And when you see that loss of those things, you understand why. Now let's talk about the key factor in forming partnerships. There's five key factors, and I'm going to talk about the first one. Is there's three points to this, but the first thing is you have got to form relationships with people. And when you form relationships with people, you in turn create partnerships with them. And a relationship is really a partnership on whatever it is that you two are getting out of the relationship. You know, in terms of a marriage, it can be raising children. It can be, you know, buying houses, buying cars, having a life together. Those are partnerships. At work, it can be having a career. You really are forming a partnership with an individual to say, if I do the things that I'm required to do and I do everything, I meet my expectations, then 30 years, you're going to let me stay here long enough to where I can find out and do something else. It's a partnership.
Right.
I mean, everything we do is that simple. So when relationship is the bigger over thing, but I'm going to give you kind of five tips. The first one is you got to spend time with people. There is no substitute for spending time with people. There is no substitute for walking around and encouraging people. There is no substitute for talking to people. Today's world of technology allows us to stay in touch with people the way we never had before. There are millions of people, and I hate to say this, but I swear it's true, but it's also helped us fast forward relationships. There are millions of people who just simply have a relationship or partnership on Facebook.
Yeah.
They connect, they interact on Facebook. They keep up with each other. They haven't connected in 30 years. I mean, yeah. I've done that with people that I went to school with, people that I mm-hmm. know, Facebook. I mean, and there's so many technological ways to spend time with people, but at work, don't ever forget the value of seeing them. And where you can, don't ever forget the value of that one-on-one partnership, spending time with people. There is absolutely no substitute for that. So when you want a really strong partnership with somebody, you got to see them, you got to talk to them, and mm-hmm. you got to have these kind of things. The second thing is you got to develop a common trust with them. Now, I want to explain what a common trust is. All relationships and all partnerships are not created equal. So if I have a relationship with someone at work, I want them to trust me, but I don't want them to trust me like I'm family, meaning that whatever they do, I'm going to have their back, because that's not true. If they do something to separate themselves from the workplace, I can't help them. And I don't want them to misunderstand that trust, that I've always got your back. And I think that causes a major problem at work, is you want to develop this familial trust, but all trust is not created equal, nor is all partnerships. So a work relationship thing is, as long as you do your job, I do mine. We expect each other. We help each other. We're friendly. I communicate. You think you're valued, all those things. That's a partnership. That's called a common trust. But, I always make these things up. I just made up the common trust factor, because what I mean by that is what you have in common with that.
Right.
Like your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your children goes way deeper than a common trust. A common trust is very definable. A uncommon trust is one that is not definable, but felt. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so an uncommon trust between you and your husband is one that you can't explain, but you know's there.
Mm-hmm.
A common trust is very explainable.
Right.
Now, these are things I just made up, so, you know, don't hold those to me.
Well, yeah. So but, a common trust would be like you all have a goal to achieve. Like at LHLN, yes. We have a goal to change people's lives.
That's right.
In the law, particularly in the law enforcement realm, but to make the best leaders that we can form.
Exactly. Exactly.
And an uncommon trust would be almost kind of like an I'm going to use a high level word again, but it's a, it's that one that you can't define. Like, why do you love your children? Or why do you love your spouse? It's exactly. An uncommon trust.
There are okay. just some relationship and partnerships that are so deep there. It's the partnership and the relation, the trust is you can't explain it. Like, you know, why do you love your husband? Like you said, you know, why do you trust? Why do you, you know, do those things? You can't really define that, explain it, but it's just there. And it right. worked. Although we say you're my family and you did, there comes a point where we got to drop you at work. And every boss who doesn't understand that is really doesn't fully understand their values, you know, because to be honest with you, there is a time you can do everything you can for an employee. And sometimes you still can't save them.
Right.
And they can't have this unreasonable expectation that they got a free pass on everything they're due. Your kids have a free pass because you have an uncommon trust with them. You know, in most cases, you're not going to drop them. You know, you're going to run to their aid. And so partnerships, you have to know which one you're in. So you got to realize when you're forming that partnership, you know, and I'm in my place. And sometimes you have both in a relationship.
Right.
You have common and uncommon trust, which is what you do with your spouse. But because like the common trust would be make the money to pay the bills, you know, help, you know, keep, you know, employed doing whatever you got to do to make things work. You know, those things are common trust things. And you got to realize, and the one reason why that is so true is because the amount of emotional bank account deposits. Right. Now, people who don't understand that. So Stephen Covey came up with this concept when he wrote Seven Habits, Highly Effective People. He said, every single day you either make deposits into people's account, their personal, their feelings account, who they are, their emotional account, or you take withdrawals out. Now, uncommon trust is where there are so many deposits into your bank account. Like that's how you create those relationships with people. But common trust is that workplace. There's just so much you're going to be able to do at work, you know, to deposit into
right.
people. Yeah. You're not going to have, you know, hopefully sexual relations at work or whatever that is and create children at work. You're not going to have those family things at work. You know, you're only going to do those things with the people you have an uncommon trust with, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There are going to be circumstances where you're going to feel like those lines are blurred and you have to be really, really careful about defining which ones are common trusts and which ones are uncommon trusts.
Absolutely. Think. And because what's going to happen is family members have a tendency to take advantage of each other and pile on the uncommon trust in a common trust situation, which absolutely complicates the partnership. And that's a great point. And that is so true, though. Right.
Right. And it can happen in a business situation, too, where if you have a lot invested in your work relationships, you have to be very, very careful not to let those common trusts slip into uncommon trusts or confuse those lines.
And that's where a lot of bosses have trouble with the trust issue. This is not a podcast about trust, folks, about partnerships. We don't want to overly
complicate. But trust is a big piece of that. That's a big foundation of partnerships.
But you can't, you know, at work, when you're the boss, partnerships are created because you have a common trust of the interest, the organization, and what you're trying to accomplish. As you get closer with them, you develop those uncommon trust, but you can't let those get, you know, make your decisions. You know, you can't let those decide, all right, I like them enough, so I'm not going to hold them accountable. You can't do that. So when you're going to form a partnership, people have to know what the limits are. That's all I'm saying. They got to know it.
Correct.
The third point is you got to have shared expectations. People have to know what's expected of them. If I find any issues in workplace, I promise you about 90% of it is somebody did not explain the expectations. Somebody, it was unclear of what was really supposed to be done, or they thought it was one thing and the person thought it was another. I mean, you got to know what the expectations are. And I think a lot of times that causes partnership issues, because your expectations is you to work all weekend. Well, if I don't work all weekend, you get mad. Or my expectations is, you know, for you to come in and be as committed to me. And if I'm not as committed as you, you get mad. Those are expectations. That's just what people do, right? And so you have to understand what's expected. And in real partnerships, you got to say, okay, it's like, if you think about the simplicity of a partnership, I'm going to show you the simplicity of a partnership. Okay. And this is where it can get really crazy. Go to a Subway sandwich shop, right? And so what normally happens is they have responsibilities where somebody will put to get the bread out, slice it, put the meat on, pass it down. Somebody else will put the thing on it and ring you up, right? I mean, you see that all the time.
Absolutely.
Well, imagine if they didn't really know what was expected of each other, and one of them made the sandwich thing, then pushed it to the person to make done. They were like, what are you doing? You just do it all. Then they walked around them. Then that person would get mad because that was what they were supposed to do. It's that simple.
Right.
You got to know in partnerships. And you can see that sometimes when people kind of don't have rhythm is because they don't understand expectations.
Right.
And there's a lot of rhythm that comes about in a workplace when people understand what expectations are. There's this natural rhythm of people flowing together, if you will. All right. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one is the most simple, but one of the most difficult, and takes a lot of work from bosses because they're not used to doing it sometimes. But the number four thing, but actually is like one of the most important components of creating partnerships, is you got to lead with a why. You need to explain why you're doing what you're doing, or why the people are doing the jobs they're doing, or why you're asking them to do it. Now, does this mean you're going to run around every day and say this why? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the clearer people understand the why, the more they form a partnership with whoever it is to get it done. And when you have an uncommon trust, you remember when I was talking about that just a second ago, the uncommon trust, sometimes you don't have to explain the why because you know each other. But in a common trust, you have to explain the why because it's task oriented a lot, or job specific orientation why. So it's like, You know, imagine explaining why you're going to breakfast with your spouse. You're just going because that's part of being in a relationship, right? But if you're going to take somebody from the office to lunch, sometimes you have to explain, let's go to lunch because we're going to talk about da-da-da. Explain the why. You know, it becomes very common. All right, I need you to go do this task, and here's why we're doing it. It's amazing. When you lead with the why, you create trust automatically. You create buy-in automatically, and you create a partnership automatically. If people know why, they are way, way, way more motivated, and they absolutely will overachieve if they know the why. So people need to understand, you want to form a partnership with people, start explaining the why. When you start explaining the why, it's crazy.
Well, and one thing I would just add to that is make sure that the why isn't, well, because the chief said so. Or because, you know, make it meaningful. You know, if you're in a leadership role, even if you disagree with what you're being asked to do as a group, perfect example, be a sergeant at a roll call. Don't just say, well, because the chief told us to do it. Try to understand from the chief why you're being asked to do it and explain it downward, and you'll probably get better buy-in from it.
Oh yeah,
I think that's a real common mistake that a lot of leaders will make, is they'll roll the fecal matter downhill, if you will. So,
well, they're not really saying that's not the why. They're just delaying the why. You know, there's a difference between telling the why and delaying the why. When you say because the boss said so, you're delaying the why.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, you're not delivering the why. You're basically delivering just get it done, you know, kind of mode. And that doesn't motivate anybody, not in today's world for sure.
Correct. Right.
All right. The last point is number five, relentless communication. You have to communicate in partnerships. Nobody can read anybody's mind. Nobody can get things through osmosis. Nobody can get things because you're looking at the same thing. You have to realize that person needs to be communicated with. And when I say relentless communication, Don't think that I'm saying you got to pick up the phone and call them every minute. Don't think that I'm telling you that, you know, it's this call them every hour. That's not relentless communication. That's foolish communication.
Yeah.
Relentless communication is, you know what you're talking about. They know what you're talking about. And then you decide together to get it done. That's freaking relentless communication right there. And when people understand that, relentless communication just means getting on the same page at the same time in the same direction. Right. That's relentless communication. And when you communicate with people in a way and are determined for relentless communication, it forms a partnership that's just amazing.
Absolutely.
So Kelly, you want to summarize those or just tell us those tips again there for everybody?
So I think those are really good. So your five keys for forming partnerships is you've got to form relationships with others. So whether they're in the workplace, which is what we're primarily focused on, you have to do that. And you do that by spending time with people and developing a common trust with them. That's as opposed to an uncommon trust, which there will be some of that in a workplace environment. But I think that was a good distinction. You need to understand the differences and where those lines get drawn. The third one was have shared expectations, be clear, be specific. And I would even add, confirm those expectations. If you're a leader, make sure you're confirming that the people that work for you understand what those expectations are.
Yeah, good point.
And then lead with the why. Make sure they understand the reason behind it, the why of what they're doing and how that's important for the overall success of the organization. And then you do that through relentless communication. And it doesn't mean that you can have an open door policy, and that's great. Many of us do. But that's not really what you're saying. What you're saying is that everyone is able to come in and clarify, understand that make sure they're on the right track, those kind of things would be part of what I would see as relentless communication.
Yeah. And relentless communications is not numbers based. Like I've talked to him so many times. Right. It's just relentless communication.
Quality based.
Well, it creates clarity. Mm-hmm. And when you create clarity with communication, that's relentless, right? You make sure people know what they're trying to accomplish. If you got high expectations in the workplace and you want people to do this, tell them, communicate with them, reinforce what you're trying to do. The mission is important. Reinforce it, clarify it. You form partnerships. You know, there's just so much we could talk about this, and, you know, maybe we'll do it in the next episode or one of the episodes coming up. But folks, I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast today. Thank you. Hope those five tips will help you. They certainly have helped me in forming partnerships as I go out and learn every single day in the classroom, take value from the students, also trying to add value to you. And I really appreciate that. Kelly, I want to thank you for joining us. Hope you guys will see us in a classroom soon. Please go visit our LHLN.org website. It is amazing. All of our dates are there, all of our classes. We want to add value to you. That's the number one thing, is everybody at LHLN, we're a small staff, but we got a lot of heart. We got a lot of commitment, and we are absolutely committed to helping you become the best leader and the best person that you can. Folks, I appreciate it. Kelly, again, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Until next time, as I always say, I'm Dean Crisp.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. You can go to www.lhln.org to find upcoming classes where you can book Dean for his new class. And you can also check out his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.